type. And soon I find it all getting rotten, and it's not tasty at all. And when I think about many choices that people make, even Christians make, and then the troubles they bring upon themselves, I realize how foolishly people make decisions in life. How foolishly they make choices. They make those choices thinking that it is good for them, and yet it turns out to be the worst. In fact, if you were to listen to God's wisdom in the book of Proverbs, I tell you, many things that you think is many things that you think are better in life will be proven to be the worst, and you can make the choices better. And for youths, I pray that you will listen very carefully to today's sermon, and you will then learn to make better choices. Firstly, Book of Proverbs asks us to make a better choice between wisdom and wealth. After all, our theme is health, wealth, wisdom, which is to be chosen over the other. Well, the scripture says wisdom. Wisdom is far more important than any other thing that you might think is important to you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Now this is divine wisdom, which is far better than gold, even fine gold. And you've got to believe that. Will you make choices between learning God's word and making money? And if you will make choices, which one will you make? I know of a man who takes no pay leave to go for church camp. The reason is he has already used up his leave for other matters in the family. And that he has no problem letting go 1 week of pay for the sake of God's word. And his testimony is this: without God's word, I will be a fool. Even if I have that money, if God's word doesn't control my mind, I will misuse that money. And that money can be a rotten thing in my house. That's the right thinking. You hardly see people making that kind of decision. That's a very wise choice. Very wise choice. You know, I've seen people taking no pay leave for many things that are not important in life. But when it comes to studying God's word, they wouldn't. It's a very sad thing. Proverbs 16:16 reminds us, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver." Now you must keep this in your heart every day of your life. Whether you are young or middle-aged or elderly person, always choose wisdom of God above money and wealth of this world. You will never regret. You know, I think this is crucial for parents especially. I know some of you are very young, not yet married, but remember how you live your life, how you make your choices are going to be watched by your children. So if you are going to be a parent who always put money matters above the wisdom of God, even though nothing has gone wrong with your life, your children have picked up a very bad trend of choices. And they're going to pick that up for themselves. And in their life, because of your bad example, they are going to suffer more than you think. Remember, it is every Christian's duty to exalt the wisdom of God. And it says, wisdom is far better than wealth. Solomon, who had great wealth and great wisdom, here not only asserts that it is better to get wisdom than gold, but he speaks it with assurance. He emphasizes that wisdom is not just better, but much better, even better beyond expression. You see how he says it with admiration. How much better? Chapter 16, verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Did you hear that expression? You know, it's slightly different from saying, yes, wisdom is better than gold. But when you say something like this, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold? Wow. And when it comes from the mouth of the richest man who lived on earth. Do you admire God's truth, the divine wisdom? Do you admire it? It's almost like asking, if I were to give you the Bible on one of my hands stretched out to you, and on the other hand, handful of diamonds, which one will you take? Well, now you may say, of course, the Bible. But many of us make a different choice. I want to ask the young people, young girls first, what sort of man will you choose for yourself? Let's say you have a choice of a pastor, a young man going to be a pastor, and a very rich, intelligent fellow next. Both are Christians. Which one will you choose? And ask the young boys here. This is a very godly girl who loves God's word. There is a flashy, luxurious looking Christian girl who is not very much concerned about the word of God and prayer, but a lot about the world. Which one will you choose? Make no mistake. Don't hesitate. Choose the one which is after God's word. There's a wealth far surpassing the value of those who are after money. I think I have made it very clear to you. Wisdom far better than wealth. Unparalleled value of wisdom must grip your mind all the time. The second better choice that Book of Proverbs teaches us is humility. Humility or status or honor among men, which one is more important? Proverbs 16:19 says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Again, in Proverbs 12, verse 9, we read, he that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. Now, I think a lot of similarities are there between these two verses. Okay, let me deal with these verses one by one. First of all, chapter 16, verse 19, which says, better is a humble spirit with the lowly. That means it is far better to be among people who are humble and do not appear to be very glamorous than with those who are proud and plenty of things to share. It is natural, if you watch people, it is natural for people to feel great about having a rich friend than a poor friend. You know, if you were to come to church with a man who drives a Ferrari, well, you feel very great about that. But if you were to walk in with a person with torn clothes and dirty looking, you may not feel that great about it. It's something funny about our human spirit. And I've seen people who talk big about their rich friends. And we feel great when a rich man treats us. It's the corruption of our heart. But the Bible says it's far better that you have godly and poor friends than people who find the pleasure in wealth. The Bible is not saying you can't be friends of rich people. That's not what it says. But don't ignore the humble ones and then stick to the poor, rich or the mighty ones. We must count it a pleasure to be the friends of those who are humble in heart, love the Lord with all their heart and walk in humility. And young people will do good to their own soul by choosing to be among the humble ones than the proud ones. And again, this trend is a little bit more vividly explained in the next verse we have, which is Proverbs 12:9, which says, "He that is despised hath a servant. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread." Now, what does that mean? You see, there are those who have little honor from others in the society and that possess much wealth or even servants. On the other hand, there are those who appear honorable and that have nothing, not even food to eat. This is a trend in every country that I go, that I see. Recently, I was counseling a young man who has gone through so many troubles in life, been caught by police, put in prison for several months. I went to visit him in the prison, and when he came out, you know, I have counseled him for a time, and he got a driving license, and all of a sudden, he was tempted to drive cars. And he can't even afford to buy one tire of it. And so he went around talking to his relatives, his parents, and others, asking for their cars for him to drive. And some of them, out of pity, give to him. And he liked to drive the cars around all the time. And his mom called me and said, "Pastor, he keep asking money from me." I said, "Why does he ask money from you?" "Because he wants to put petrol in the car." So one day I called the boy and said, "Come, let's sit. You can't even afford to buy 1 liter of petrol. What are you trying to show off?" And then I figured, when I heard from somebody else that he went to rent a very flashy car and then drove that around. And I said, "Brother, if you get into an accident, you'll be in deep trouble. You won't be able to repair it." There's another young man I knew. He would always like to borrow things from people. If somebody else have an iPhone and he doesn't have, he'd be very jealous of those who have iPhone. And he at least borrowed that iPhone for one day and walk around with that. Like to show off. You know, the businessmen of this world know this, so they let you buy things on credit. And they give you a credit card and you go and buy, even though you don't have money. How many people who cannot afford to have a normal car go and buy expensive car on credit and then struggle to pay? They want to appear rich, even though they are poor. To make themselves honorable, they drive luxurious cars, reside in houses that are fancifully decorated. They put on designer's clothes and wear branded watches and so on. Most of these things are bought on credit. They acquire all these with borrowed money. And they are in great debts. I don't think this is a wise thing to do. Consider another Bible verse that I want to bring to your attention. Proverbs 25:7. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Jesus also spoke of such a situation. In other words, don't desire to be seated among the honorable fellows and then go and find your seat among them, only to be asked later to come and sit behind. There are people even in the church like that. You know, they come to church and they try to make a big impact in order that they might be soon promoted to be in the leadership of the church. But they are not willing to go through the discipline of life. They are not willing to sit under someone and learn. They are not willing to be tested and proven. They want quick promotion. And they try to wriggle through to get to that position. And I want to tell you, it is a sure path to great shame and dishonor in the days to come. It is better to desire a humble position than a high position for oneself. Now, I was not saying that if you become an elder or pastor or deacon, you are proud. No, don't get me wrong. You remember the other day I mentioned this. In order to be an elder or a deacon, you have to desire the good work. And the work of an elder and a deacon is honorable, and yet it is often a humble job. It means you are willing to suffer for the people. It means that you are willing to stoop down and wash the feet of sinners, just like your Savior. It means that you are willing to be evil spoken of. You are willing to be slandered. You're willing to suffer. It is not to be on the top of the world and everybody admire you. If anyone comes to the service of God just because of the double honor that God promised to such, and not for the sake of the humble service, will finally be put to great shame. So remember this. Remain humble. Take upon yourself lowly service like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God will lift you up. God will exalt you in due season. Also remember, if you take the seat of someone else, you will soon ask to vacate that place. So it is better to be asked to take an honorable seat than being asked to vacate it. A third better choice is between luxury and love. Luxury or love? Let's read together. Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You see that? Better is a dinner of herbs where love is. If no love, dinner of herb also no use. Okay? It's not the dinner of herb that makes it better, but love. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. When people live in unity, and if they are friendly and hearty and pleasant, there will be much pleasure in having a simple meal together. Love will make even a dinner of herbs a delicious feast. Love will sweeten the meal. On the other hand, if there be enmity and strife, there will be no joy, even if we sit together to eat a very sumptuous meal. I've been to certain houses for meals to which I was invited. When I sit with the family, I have noticed on a couple of occasions how the family struggles to sit together around the table. It's a very sad situation. And the father says, "Children, come." When they come to the chair, you can see the unhappiness, the unwillingness to sit there. And there is no enthusiasm in conversation. When the father asks a question, the reply comes with such disrespect, as though the father is troubling the son. And you can feel that bitterness, unforgiveness all over. And how I wish I was not in that meal. It's very painful. And I want to remind you, dear friends, do not go after luxury and wealth and lose a loving family. I know of a man in Singapore who became one of the top executive of his company, and that resulted in constant travel around the world. But it brought great wealth to his family. So at the age of 40, he had a big house, nice, luxurious cars. And they were good Christians. Because the man was often in travel, he could not manage his kids. A wife was struggling. And she realized, without the father around, it's so difficult to manage the kids. So she wrote a note to the husband and said, "Dear, I think it's time for you to choose between your children and your business. It is time to choose whether you want the children to have the world or God. They are unwilling to go with me to church. They are unwilling to go for anything spiritual. Make your choice quickly, darling. And I hope you will consider my plea." Something to this effect she wrote. This man is a godly man. I thank God for that. He quickly made his decision. He said he's resigning. Not that he was bitter. He realized his failure. He didn't come home and tell the children, "Look, you all make me resign. I'm disappointed." No, he realized he made a wrong choice. He realized he has not paid attention to his role as a father. He has not given time to let the children know he loves them. He has not given them loving exhortations when it was most needful. You can't live in America and then give counsel to your child in Singapore. Sometimes you have to be present with them. Occasionally, if you have to move out of the place, we understand. But if you only come occasionally to the children, then you can't be a loving parent. Even though you love, you can't express it. Love that is not manifested is not love. Love is felt only when it is expressed, right? So this man decided to quit his job, and I tell you, it was a very drastic decision as far as he's concerned, because he bought a big house, he's still paying for it month after month. And he got luxurious cars, he got to pay for that. To quit a job so quickly is so detrimental to all, sustaining all these things. So he had no choice, he downgraded. He downgraded to a HDB flat. He bought the biggest one, but still it's much cheaper. And he sold his luxurious car and bought a second-hand car. And he quickly downgraded and let go all those things so that he can find a job that would not require too much of his time and would allow him to be with his family. He also knew that because he was over 40, it's not easy to get another job. This happened in the recent financial crisis. And so he looked for a job, it was so hard. Anyway, he got a decent job, which gave him a salary which was much lower than the previous one. But he was happy. He took control of his family. He started to spend more time with the children, spoke with them lovingly and firmly, brought them to the church, brought them to the prayer meeting, and came with the children to the youth fellowship. And there was a big difference in the family. And I remember the words of the wife at the end, "I am much happier. I'm so relieved." You all, as you grow up, remember this truth. Luxury cannot replace love. Make your right choice. Normally people would choose luxury over privation, but what is more important is love. All right. By the way, I'm not saying you cannot be rich, all right? If the Lord gives you wealth, fine, but never at the expense of manifested love toward your dear ones. Again, a question is asked, which is a better choice, fear of the Lord or treasures? Answer is clear. Proverbs 15:16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You know, getting rich does not mean no trouble. The richer you are, the richer are your troubles. So many troubles. If you were to read 1 Timothy 6, Paul says, the rich often fall into snares and temptations and pierce themselves with many sorrows. To live by trusting the Lord and for His glory is far better than riches than we can accumulate by disobeying and displeasing the Lord. Though there will be very little with a God-fearing man, his spiritual inheritance as a result of his fear of the Lord makes him far better than the rich without God. You know, as I was growing up in Gethsemane BP Church, now you may wonder, why did I say I was growing up when I was a pastor? I was still growing. You know, the church was very small, just 8 people when I came to that church to be a preacher. And the majority of them were of my age, or maybe 2 years older than me or 2 years younger than me, around that age. So in a way, we all grew up in life. I just got married in 1991, and that's the year I came into Gethsemane as a preacher. And many of them just got married around that time. So we were watching one another, and I saw in some of them a great desire to gather wealth. And it is a time that I've been studying God's word, and I've been emphasizing the fact that it is far better for a mother to stay home and look after the children if wealth is not important. And some would argue with me, how can a man live in Singapore without double income? And he said, it's impossible. I said, look at me. I have the least salary in the church. And that I can afford. Because I don't want to live in luxury. I'm happy to live within my means. And when the struggle comes, I pray. I cry out to the Lord. And do you know something? In those days, people have despised me. I don't mind to tell you. You can tell that to Gethsemanians. They understand. Not all, some of them despise me. But today, they do respect me. The reason is simple. I chose to be wise than to be rich. I chose to fear God and His truth than going after money. I was not afraid to be poor for the sake of being obedient. One pastor looked at me and said, you're a foolish man. I said, why? You have such low salary and you still don't let your wife work. I said, my wife is working very hard. I didn't make her sluggish anyway. But she is working at the right place where she should work. And she is a wonderful woman. She works hard. She's intelligent. She manages the home. I think I'm very fortunate to have a wife like that. 2 years later, the same pastor came around and said, you know, you're very fortunate. The one who told me I'm foolish says 2 years later, I'm very fortunate. I asked him why. I watched the way both of you work as a team. My wife won't even come for prayer meeting. She's busy making money. And my church members are angry with me. Yeah, he said, well, so you change your mind now? He said, yes. I tell you, dear friends, if you want to prove anything in this world, prove by your life, God's wisdom is better choice. And don't fear whatever sacrifices you have to make in that course, because you will never lose them. God is no debtor to those who love Him. God is no debtor to those who serve Him. You don't have to be a pastor to enjoy this. Every Christian must believe that. The kind of blessings that God gives to you when you're obedient to God can never be purchased with all the wealth in the world. Fear of the Lord is far better than the treasures of this world. Believe it. The next choice is between righteousness and revenues. Do you notice this? Money always pop up against so many wonderful things. How dangerous money can be. It can take away so many wonderful things that are far better than wealth. Wealth is such a big distraction. Luxury and pride of this life is such a distraction. Righteousness is far better than revenues. Proverbs 15:16. Let's read together. Better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. One more verse. Chapter 16, verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. We are often concerned about wealth that we almost neglect the pursuit of righteousness. Some even follow unjust ways to be prosperous. In many conversations that I have with people, people often say, oh, you know, a small lie should be okay. In this world, you cannot do business without lying a little bit. And they dare to lie. They dare to tell lies. They try to evade tax department. They try to do this and that. And they really think that's wise. It's okay to have a little bit of sin. Of course, don't go too far, okay? Don't lie big lies, but the little one is okay. I tell you, don't do that. You may become like Ananias and Sapphira, who thought a little lie should be okay, and told this is all that we got by selling the property, and then died all of a sudden. Well, you make your choice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, a lot of people forget the second part, righteousness. They say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means go to church, give money to the church, and then you get everything. A lot of charismatic pastors would preach, give, cast the seed, sow the seed. If you put $100, then it will be that big. If you give $1,000, then all the more will be your blessings. It doesn't matter how you live. So they themselves live carnal life. The people in the church are worldly. They don't mind. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Kingdom of God is not about worldliness. Kingdom of God is all about God and His righteousness. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How wonderful is my Lord! How worthy He is that I would give entire life to Him. I must serve Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Oh, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is a better choice. That's a better choice. Don't think twice about it. Proverbs then advises us to make a choice between meekness and might. Which one is better, meekness or might? Proverbs 16:32. Let's read together. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Remember this. Others may be too quick in condemning you. Others may be too fast in putting you down. You may be a little slow in defending yourself, so that you might not bring too much shame and sorrow to others. It's all right. You're not losing the battle. You're winning the battle. If somebody slap your face, you don't have to punch him with one knock and let him go down the grave. It's far better to absorb that pain and give a smile. A controlled, self-disciplined spirit is far better than one who takes a city. That is what God says. Whosoever get the mastery of his passions is better than the mighty. Better than he that be by a long siege takes a city, or by a long war subdues a country. But I want to tell you, it's not easy to control our spirit. It's far more difficult than taking a city, than controlling a man. And it is true about me. I was growing up with a lot of anger in my heart. I don't know why. When I was a young boy, my mom used to say, I'm like a weaver ant. You know those red ants on the tree? I don't know whether you have it here. When you climb the tree and they will come and bite you, and they won't go away. Even though you rub. When you rub, try to rub off the ant, it will bite you harder. And so curl the body and then bite you harder. You probably have to kill the thing to remove it. You pour water, it won't go. You rub it, it won't go. It will bite you harder and harder. My mom used to say, I'm like that. When I have an issue at home, I won't give up. I argue. For everything I have a reply. For everything I have some excuse. I will make the person very miserable. Oh, how difficult it was to overcome that problem I had. I had to pray, I had to ask the Lord. Things have changed. And I'm sure it was far more difficult than getting my PhD. It was far easier to get my PhD or the doctoral degree in theology than learning to overcome my own passion. That's why sometimes you have intelligent fools who have PhDs but cannot control their lust, cannot control the greed, cannot control their pride. Meekness is far better than being mighty. Somebody told me many PhDs are phenomenally dumb. He was saying that they are so proud and make such foolish mistakes in life. I'm not talking about every PhD person, but many are like that. Conquest of ourselves and our own unruly passions requires more true wisdom than the obtaining of a victory over the forces of an enemy. So I would say, a man who is slow to anger is greater than Alexander the Great or Caesar of Rome. So great are the gains of meekness that by it we are more than conquerors. And again, another choice that we need to make is between peace or house full of sacrifices. Proverbs 17:1 says this, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Here we are counseled to pursue family unity, love and peace. Those that live in unity and quietness are not only free from jealousies and animosities, but live very comfortably. If we work hard and live in love and unity, the little that we have, even just a dry morsel, will be sufficient to grant us a happy home. I've seen people who fight with one another in the family and then go for fasting and prayer, so that the family will have unity. And then during the prayer, if you listen to them, they are complaining against everybody in the family except themselves. And go back without having any conviction of heart, fight again. Next day go to church with a big Bible in hand. Where are you going? Fasting and praying. Pastor, pray, my house has so many problems. And then pray day and night, and then you listen to what happens in the house, that person's voice is louder than everybody else. You make a lot of sacrifices, but never have a commitment to love and peace and unity. That's no use. As I said a while ago, love will sweeten your meal, but strife will sour and embitter. Even though house is full of so-called religiosity and worship. There is yet another verse in this regard that I want to bring to your attention. Another better than verse. Proverbs 25:24. Let's read together. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. So young ladies, grow up to be a patient young lady rather than aggressive go-getter. Alright? If you want your husbands to love you, be sweet and kind-hearted at home, gentle and forgiving. If you're going to be fighting and aggressive, unfortunately many marriages have become competition than companionship. Who is better?
Who is better?
Everybody is trying to prove I'm better. Husband is trying to say that the wife is worse than him, and the wife is trying to say the husband is worse than him. And they are in a competition constantly, you know. Who is better? Who is wiser? Who is smarter? Nobody is willing to give in. And sometimes when you watch sibling rivalry within our homes, how brothers and sisters fight, when you listen to them, I listen to my kids, it's more, almost all the time it's like that. He is the one who caused the trouble. You know how stupid he is? How stupid she is? And they're always trying to say that I'm better, I'm not the trouble, he is the trouble. If they were to just keep quiet, things would be much better. So learn while you are young, even in your dealings with brothers and sisters at home. It's far better to be calm and quiet than be a brawling person at home. If you are very hard to put up with, people may just run off. Now this, by the way, I must add something here, you know, it doesn't mean you have to be very noisy. There are some people who are very clever. They quarrel not by shouting and screaming, but by being silent. Darling, shall we have breakfast? Shall we go to church? The silence is full of words. Nothing can be done in life. Nothing can get going. Everything is hung because of this person's quarrelsome spirit. Of course, that doesn't mean she will shout or he will shout. Just be quiet. Nothing can be done. Now please be peaceful at home. The next choice is between integrity and chattering. Proverbs 19:1. Let's read. Join me please. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity, and he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. A rich man may have much fame, but if he is a man without integrity, soon he shall be plagued by shame. He may go around and show his accumulated wealth and speaks great things about himself, how smart he is, how clever he is, how he can organize his business and plan ahead, and how he has great plans to go into the next city and become richer. He may say a lot of big things, great swelling words. Fraud and oppression might have made him a rich man, and it will soon prove him to be a fool. An honest person is to be preferred far above a rich man who is not upright. So Proverbs 19:22 says, a poor man is better than a liar. Proverbs 28:6 says, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. It's not prominence. It is not popularity, it is not fame that we should seek, but integrity of heart, truthfulness of heart. No matter how integrity may make you small, that smallness is far wiser than the honor, so-called honor and fame that is brought by deceitful ways. Now two more choices that are presented to us. Second last is about love. Love expressed or love suppressed? Which is better? Proverbs 27 verse 5. says open rebuke is better than secret love. Now everyone should take note of it, okay? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Here, God's wisdom commends love expressed, even though it is not appreciated by friends. It is good for us to be reproved and told of our faults by our friends. Don't forget that, okay? The other day, someone was saying this to me in a conversation. I can't recall all the details. But it was something like this. You know, when I go with certain unbelievers, they admit they're adulterers, they are covetous and this and that. And when I sit with them, they never rebuke me. But I'm with some Christians, they rebuke me. They have this holier-than-thou attitude. But that's not true. When Christians rebuke you, and if you find those things are true with you, don't be bitter about it. It's because of the love for you they correct you, isn't it? Of course, if you go to the wicked and they will say everything nice about you, it's not love. It's not love. So there are people who say, I don't want to come to church. You know why? Everybody is so critical. I'd rather go back to my old friends in the world. They accept me as I am. They are not so demanding. Nonetheless, let not our church ever hold back rebuke of sin. Because that's the only way we can love them eternally. If you want to love a soul and win them from the destruction of sin, we have to have open rebuke at times. Open rebuke. Every pastor who refuses to rebuke worldliness in his church is a failure. He's not a servant of God. He's a servant of the devil. I have no problem in saying it. He may be a theologian, he may have seminary degrees, he may be well known as a speaker, but if he refuses to rebuke sin within the congregation, he is not a servant of God. He is not a servant of love either. Listen to God's wisdom. Open rebuke. Not open acceptance, okay? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the reproofs of a friend, though for the present they are painful as wounds. Well, let me take you to one more choice. Proverbs 27 verse 10 says, better is a neighbor that is nearer, that is near than a brother far off. Better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. You know, never despise your neighbor, okay? I noticed one thing with Elder Cole. Whenever I eat, and every morning he takes me to his house for breakfast. And normally when we park the car, somebody in the neighborhood will walk by. And he will say, good morning, put up his hand. And at first I watch this, you know. The people come and doesn't smile very much. They just walk. And the moment he says good morning, they also smile and good morning. And he doesn't wait for them to say good morning. He himself says that. Something that I learned. And Reverend Timothy Toh used to say that he had a professor. When he sees his students from far, he will put up his hand and say, hello! And everybody will say hello. And he's such a humble person. Do you have that sort of attitude? Some of us will stand in the church and watch. Who will come and greet me? and then go around and say, Sydney BP Church is not a friendly church. I have to say hello, then only they will say hello. You know, sometimes we are like this. We don't appreciate people around us. Let me tell you, appreciate your neighbors. Appreciate your friends. Some of them can be tough characters, I agree. But if you win them, you have best help near you. I always tell my wife and children, don't make the neighbor angry. Especially in Singapore, when you live in Housing Development Board, you know, you don't have any space. Most of the space are shared between your neighbor. Like, for instance, when you come out of your house, the corridor belongs to the neighbor and you. And if you were to put all your things there, you know, clothes to dry, and you hang them along the corridor, and then the neighbor comes out, he sees my clothes hanging there. And it's an unsightly thing. So I tell my wife, never mind, even though it doesn't dry well, please put it away from the door. Don't put there. And then I see the neighbor put all his things there. And then I will say, never mind, we just bear them. And I have seen neighbors fighting with one another. You know, they pour hot water in the other person's planted pot. And they're angry, and they fight, and all kinds of things happening. How to live like that? In times of adversity, a brother or relative is helpful, but if the brother lives a great distance away from you, a neighbor may be far more helpful, isn't it? So the saying goes in Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Appreciate good friends. Love them. Be kind to people and make friends. It is far better to have a faithful and available neighbor than an unreliable brother. That's another fact. Do you have good friends in Sydney BP Church? Praise God for that. Cherish them. Cherish them. And thank God for them. Thank God for them. Are there friends who pray for you? Praise the Lord for them. Don't despise them. And may the Lord bless you with a good fellowship in the church, where you appreciate one another, where you pray for one another, where you count your duty toward your neighbor as far more important than your own relations who are far away from you. It's very important. Now I must tell you the truth. The people in my church are closer to me than my own parents and my brother and sister. Not that my parents and friend and my brother and sister don't love me, but they are very far. Even though they love me, they can't be there all the time. It was the church that I serve that went through all my struggles. And they shared the most than my parents. I'm not bad-mouthing my parents. I hope you get it right. They are very loving and kind. Nonetheless, it is God's design and plan in life when we move about, neighbors, friends, are going to be the ones whom God uses to bless us. So love the fellowship that you have. Love those who love you. And pray for them. And not only that, be a good neighbor to others. Be a good neighbor to others. Make it a point to be a good neighbor. A long-suffering neighbor. A happy neighbor. A neighbor who greets others. And that will make our life far more easier. If you always have grudges against your neighbor, your life is going to be very miserable. So learn this. Be a ready friend at all times to those who are around you. May the Lord bless you with a life that is full of wisdom, and through wisdom, may you bless others as well. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the good advice of your word. Your word is so full of wonderful, wonderful counsels. Is there a counselor who is better than our Savior? His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Thank you to Thee we could come for the last few days, day and night, to hear what You have revealed. Lord, we pray that these wonderful counsels would remain with us every day of our life, that we may benefit from the wisdom of God, not to pursue after the things of this world, but to pursue after the rich wisdom of Thy word. Grant us this honor by Your grace. For the glory of Christ, we pray. Amen.